Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Queen of the Con.
My name's Peggy, and I'm the CEO of King Management. King Management is a company I founded because I wanted to help professional athletes manage their finances.
Professional athletes like NBA superstar Dennis Rodman, who hires this beguiling money manager in 2009 to take the reins of his financial life. She said she's a Harvard grad. She said she made millions of dollars on Wall Street. She said she's creating generational wealth for Dennis Rodman with savvy investments she's making all over the world. She said a lot of things.
She mentioned to us to call her Raquel.
But 3 years after Raquel, a.k.a. Peggy, gets power of attorney and takes full control of all of Dennis Rodman's bank accounts and finances, things start going off the rails.
Dennis would call me and say, my cable is off or my power is off. He was renting out this place in Aventura. The landlord would call me all the time like,
the rent is late.
And I'm like,
what are you talking about, the rent is late? He's got plenty of money. The rent shouldn't be late.
I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is Queen of the Con, The Athlete Whisperer. Episode 2, Victoria's Secret.
This is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Oda Cuffey.
It's 2013, and Dennis Rodman is on the Today Show being interviewed by Lester Holt about all the headlines he's been making for not paying child support. At this point, the public perception is that Dennis Rodman is broke, struggling with his addiction to alcohol, and can't afford to take care of himself or his family.
Are you broke?
No.
I'm not broke at all. I'm not one of the guys that made, you know, like the Michael Jordan money or the Scottie Pippen money. I made a decent living in the NBA, but broke, no, I'm not broke.
Part and parcel with all your legal problems, the people around you have said that you're sick, that you're not well, and they've talked specifically about your struggles with alcohol.
What Lester Holt has no way of knowing here is that while Dennis Rodman does have a well-documented drinking problem, according to his manager at the time, he's still making a lot of money doing movies, TV shows, and public appearances.
We'd go to events, and sometimes they pay us in cash. We could have $100,000 in cash. It wasn't a lot of money to us.
Regardless, all that money would go straight to his financial manager, Peggy, to supposedly pay all of Dennis's bills, especially his child support. She's the one with power of attorney. She's the one depositing every dollar into his bank account, a bank account he no longer has access to. That was the arrangement he made with Peggy years earlier. Dennis Rodman didn't trust himself to be a good steward of his money, so he put all his trust in Peggy and insisted everyone around him trust her too.
You have to remember, Prince Marketing Group has to send the money to wherever Dennis wants them to.
Prince Marketing Group was one of the companies getting Dennis Rodman endorsement deals at the time and booking him lucrative public appearances.
Their fiduciary responsibility is to Dennis. It's his decision. It's his money. He can send it anywhere he wants. I was advising him very strongly not to send it anymore to Peggy because I just didn't have any trust in her.
And at the height of his public money woes, Dennis Rodman's girlfriend at the time, Gigi, steps in and tries to get to the bottom of things.
I'm calling Peggy going, "What's going on? Where's the money? I know that he just did a gig." She's like,
"Oh, well, you know, he has back taxes. All that money had to go to the IRS. He doesn't have any money, Gigi. He has no money."
And I would say, "How is that possible?"
According to Gigi, Dennis is getting numb to it all at this point and resentful. But he's not necessarily angry at Peggy. He's just fed up with the situation in general.
So he would go to work and he felt like he was working for free. You know, he'd go and work, do the job, and then wasn't rewarded for it because it was all, according to Peggy, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis, I'm sorry, honey, but you don't get anything this time because all this had to go here, here, and here, and here." So he was going like, "Why do I even try?"
And Gigi wasn't the only one taken aback by Dennis's cash flow problem. His manager at the time was also growing very, very suspicious of where and how Peggy was supposedly investing all of Dennis's money. So he did some snooping.
I had a buddy of mine who worked for a private investment bank have a meeting with her. And he went and met with her, and he called me right after. And he's like,
"She couldn't explain any of the investments because she always claimed that she was investing some of his money in some overseas investment."
When he went to try to ascertain, "Okay, well, exactly what are you doing? Like, how are you handling it?" She just couldn't speak on a very competent level as to, like, finance. She just didn't understand, like, basic finance. So there's no way she was investing this money because she couldn't even explain what she was doing, nor did Dennis get any reports.
And that was the other troubling thing. Peggy was just not leaving any kind of paper trail at all. She didn't appear to be documenting anything.
It was so ambiguous. I could never get a straight answer from anybody. And I talked to Dennis and he would say, "Oh, well, you know, she's handling my stuff and I'm paying her to handle it." I go, "Well, how much are you paying her?" Like, he could never really communicate to me what the arrangement was. Because I would ask Peggy, like, "Peggy, what is the arrangement you have? Where are the documents? Where are the bank statements?" And she would always have an answer for everything.
And when Peggy was asked where Dennis Rodman's child support payments were, or his tax payments, or his rent money,
she was like the best at saying, "The check is in the mail." She always was like, "Oh, I sent it from the wrong account," or, "Oh, the wire didn't come in," or, "Oh, someone at the bank didn't whatever." The bank closed early.
All of a sudden, one by one, the people in Dennis Rodman's life try to warn him about Peggy.
And he would just kind of blow it off.
Dennis's girlfriend at the time, Gigi, makes plea after plea after plea.
I was like, Dennis, I've been telling you that this doesn't make sense. I've been telling you that I feel like Peggy's stealing. He kept saying, nah, 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 and I'd say, she's stealing from you. Like, literally, where's this money going?
Dennis Rodman is flat out refusing to believe Peggy is doing anything wrong. After all, she's like a mother to him at this point, even though he's getting blasted in the press for not making his child support payments, which was entirely Peggy's responsibility. She's supposed to be paying all his bills, especially his child support.
It's just kind of a heartless move.
My buddy, Evan Goldstein.
Like, steal the other shit, but like, how about you at least like stick to the paying for the little kids? You know, it's like as a father, like shit like that pisses me off, man.
So I spoke to Michelle Rodman, Dennis Rodman's ex-wife, and she agreed to do an interview. Then she backed out of the interview. But in the half hour or so I spoke to her, she did tell me she knew Peggy was a scammer from the get.
Really?
She said the minute Peggy entered their lives, the money stopped. She would get evicted. She'd be staying in motels, the money for their kids. She couldn't buy them groceries. Like,
oh my God.
She talked about being in constant desperation for money from Dennis to support the kids and her. That just stopped coming when Peggy came on board. So she knew Peggy was up to no good.
Yeah.
And Michelle Rodman blew the whistle early and often, but nobody was listening, including Dennis Rodman. And maybe it's because by then she was his ex-wife and, you know, even that title alone, it doesn't engender much like trust or belief. You think she's got an axe to grind.
But Dennis Rodman's manager at the time remembers all too well Michelle Rodman's concerns.
We're standing in the foyer of the house and Michelle pulled me aside. She said, you know Peggy's stealing from Dennis. That's the first time anyone like said out loud what I was thinking. Like there's something off here. But she was the first one to come out and say it. And that's what started the ball rolling as far as my mindset. And it was just maddening because I'm like, Dennis, listen, man, you have got to do something about this. And he just wouldn't do it. We tried for years, years to get him to fire her. He just wouldn't do it.
At this point, Peggy, in an attempt to share responsibility with Dennis's manager or share blame, tries to include him on Dennis's financials.
Peggy wanted to add me onto Dennis's accounts. And I said, absolutely, under no circumstances will I be listed on any of his accounts.
Little does Peggy know, she's about to be found out. We'll explain how after the break.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Queen of the Con. Dennis Rodman's financial manager, Peggy, is doing some shady things, and it's all about to catch up with her.
Peggy wanted to add me onto Dennis's accounts, and I said, absolutely, under no circumstances will I be listed on any of his accounts.
Around this time in 2013, Dennis Rodman hires a new attorney to go to court and make the case that his child support payments should be reduced because he's not making the kind of money he was making back in the heyday when he was playing in the NBA. He's making much less now, so his child support payment should be based on his current income and not what he was making a decade or so earlier. But by Peggy defaulting on his current child support payments, it causes a bunch of problems for Dennis that no one sees coming, according to the family attorney Dennis hires.
One of the major issues is when he would have to travel. Obviously, he'd need a passport like we all would. And if you don't pay your child support, your passport gets revoked. So that's what was consistently happening. The passport issue took on a life of its own, right? So that was sort of like a case in and of itself. I was dealing with a child support enforcement agency and pretty much begging them, please, like, let him use his passport. Here's the proof. Here's the contract. He wants to make money. He wants to pay everybody, you know? So he literally would be afraid to go to the airport for fear of being stopped. It's horrible. It is a horrible situation to be in.
On the bright side, though, once this new attorney starts looking into Dennis's finances to make her child support payment modification request to the court, things start unraveling for Peggy.
We were just constantly getting the runaround. It was always, he doesn't have the money, but yet I can't really show it. And then the last minute, these financials, if there was any type of a balance sheet or anything put together, it was just completely half-assed. It was a joke. I mean, this is accounting 101, so she obviously was hiding something.
But exactly what that was would take a while to figure out. What that attorney did know was, when Dennis hired Peggy to run his finances in 2009, he was $100,000 in debt. Peggy was supposed to pay that debt down and invest the rest of his money. Instead, by 2012, Dennis Rodman is $800,000 in debt, and none of his bills are getting paid,
And yet Dennis still refuses to believe Peggy is doing anything wrong, leaving his attorney no choice but to drag it out in public.
I remember one day sitting in court in Orange County and questioning Dennis and trying to explain, you know, trying to prove his modification.
So picture it. Dennis Rodman is on the stand in family court, being asked about all his expenses, all the charges that are showing up on his credit card statements, which are now being shown to the entire courtroom on an overhead projector. Suddenly, Dennis notices several charges on his credit card for thousands of dollars at Victoria's Secret, and it stuns him.
He just sat back and he says, wait. Like, it was an out-of-body experience. He wasn't even really worrying about the fact that he's in the middle of his own trial. He says, I've never been there. Like, that's not me.
Finally, these random Victoria's Secret charges seem to snap Dennis Rodman out of the Peggy-induced haze he's been in for years.
And he's literally in a courtroom on record, and the lawyer's like kind of pulling a fast one, just like, let me just, now that I have you sitting still here and not shotgunning a beer off a top model's, you know, cleavage, like, here we go, sit right here, read these. And it took that for him to go, huh, wait a second.
Yeah, it did.
That's crazy.
His girlfriend at the time, Gigi, is there when it all goes down.
I remember him coming back and he was just so upset, you know, just so distraught. And in fact, he had called me at one point and said, hey, did you take my credit card? Did you spend $2,000 at Victoria's Secret? And I said, Dennis, wouldn't you know if I spent $2,000 at Victoria's Secret? Wouldn't you see it? You know? So he was like kind of just caught off guard. And I think that's when he started realizing, wait a minute, I know I didn't do it. She didn't do it. And so that's when he really started going, okay, what's going on here?
It's not long after that California court appearance, Dennis is back in Miami, and he's becoming increasingly frustrated with the lack of money in his life. He's working all the time, and yet he feels like he has nothing to show for it. So Dennis Rodman finally decides to take matters into his own hands. He grabs Gigi and drives to Fort Lauderdale at the crack of dawn.
He and I in the early morning went to Peggy's house because he had no money. He didn't have a dollar. And he was ringing the doorbell, and she didn't come down. She wasn't answering her phone. And then after a while, she finally came to the window and she yelled out the window. She was just waking up and she had a robe on. She's like, honey, I'm sleeping. You have to come back later. He was like, hey, I have no money. What's up with that? And she was just like, Dennis, darling, don't worry. I'm going to fix it. Let me get up and I'll get stuff together for you. And he was irate.
And in a weird twist, Peggy's brother Elkin was Dennis Rodman's road manager at the time and de facto best friend. Remember, Elkin's the one Dennis thanks along with Peggy during his basketball Hall of Fame speech.
Peggy King, Elkin King, the family, that these guys are taking care of me these days. Thank you, Peggy.
Elkin works alongside his sister Peggy at King Management. At least that was the story Dennis's people were told.
It was quite some time after Peggy was in the picture that Elkin was coming to town. Like, I had no idea who he was. And she said it was her brother was coming to town to help her with her business. And there were significant warning signs of what was to come next. Something just did not add up with Elkin's relationship with Peggy.
But in no time, Elkin becomes Dennis's road manager, and the two are inseparable. Traipsing all over the world together doing public appearances. In Russia, in North Korea, in all kinds of profitable places.
My responsibilities were to like completely run Dennis. I lived in the same apartment building. I did all of the driving, all of the security, all just basically one-on-one with Dennis. It's like, this shit happened so fast in my eyes. What people don't really understand is, like, I had a lifestyle that was roughly about $50,000 a month. Dennis and I, that's what we spend.
We live like kings. $500 breakfasts. I'm with this guy for years, and that's what Dennis spent, $50,000 a month.
Dennis's girlfriend at the time, Gigi, never liked Elkin at all. She had a bad feeling about him.
And I would tell Dennis, like, I don't want Elkin hanging around you. I don't want him to go on trips with you. He's not the person that should be going on trips with you. I felt like Elkin was definitely riding his coattails. He wanted to be in his realm. He wanted to be able to brag about Dennis. I felt like they were using Dennis in every aspect.
Well, unbeknownst to Dennis at the time, his road manager and best friend, Elkin, was trying to help Dennis get a handle on his money problems behind his back.
Elkin would be like, Gigi, you know that, like, we gotta control Dennis because he's out of control. And that means we gotta control his money. We gotta watch what he's doing. He can't know what's in his account. And part of me was thinking, okay, I'm in agreement with that because he was drinking. And I know that if we would go out, let's say he had money in his pocket, he'd want to go to the strip club and turn those into ones and throw them in the air. I understood that, so I'm in agreement with that.
But shortly after Dennis confronts Peggy outside her Fort Lauderdale mansion in the wee hours that fateful morning,
he was like, hey, I have no money. What's up with that?
In a fit of rage, Dennis goes over to Elkin's place, grabs him, and the three of them, Dennis, Elkin, and Gigi, jump in a car and start driving.
So he got Elkin and said, we're going to the bank. And we went to the bank, and Elkin's like, Dennis, you don't have any money, okay? You have to just leave it alone. We'll fix it. So he gets out of the car, and Elkin goes, he cannot talk to those bankers. We've already told the bankers that they cannot talk to him about his finances.
Needless to say, Dennis didn't get any money out of the bank that day. While the bank account was actually in his name, he was not listed as a signatory, meaning he wasn't legally allowed to withdraw money from that account. That's how Peggy had set things up. And not long after that fiasco, Dennis Rodman's attorney sends a letter to Peggy, firing her, accusing her of fraud, writing,
although you claim to have a graduate degree from Harvard, it's more like your resume could be a study in fictional writing at Harvard.
That letter gets leaked to the press, and TMZ picks it up and publishes a story about it, headlined, Dennis Rodman brutally fires business manager, quote, she's a total fraud. And you won't believe what Peggy says after the break.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Queen of the Con. So TMZ runs a piece calling Peggy a total fraud.
Yeah, the TMZ article. It was like a bomb had gone off. It was the first public announcement that Peggy was stealing.
And Peggy responds, publicly accusing Dennis of lying. Dennis Rodman is out more than $1 million at this point, and according to his manager at the time, Peggy's theft was insanely egregious.
Dennis's agency would send Dennis a wire of $90,000 at, like, say, 10:30 in the morning. By 3 o'clock the same day, all $90,000 is swept out of his account, and it shows up in Peggy's account. I mean, all of it. She wouldn't even leave him a couple hundred dollars for a loaf of bread. I mean, she took all of it.
But the hardest blow and the biggest betrayal comes when Dennis finds out that Elkin, his road manager and best friend, who he thought was Peggy's brother, is actually her son. Dennis's manager at the time remembers Dennis's pain and anguish when that brother-son revelation came to light.
I think it was devastating for Dennis emotionally. I think it was devastating. He had so much faith and trust in Peggy and Elkin, and they so betrayed his trust. I just think he was really hurt by this.
I believe that Elkin was her brother at the time.
Remember Chantel Cohen? She worked as Peggy's assistant for a time, and early on, she witnesses a major, major crack in that whole brother-sister story that Peggy and Elkin are telling.
We happened to go out and go party one day, and Elkin and I stayed up later than everybody else, and we were just talking, very drunk. And he said something my mom, and I kind of like perked up, and I was like, wait, what? And he's like, we don't talk our family business. You didn't hear that. I said, OMG, because when I babysat her kids at a young age, she said that they were her ex-husband's kids with another person, and she just stepped in as a mother, blah, blah, blah. I never had kids. Look at this body I have. You know, that
she said she never had kids.
Never had kids. It was crazy. Like, so, I don't even know how I would feel as a kid, and my mom doesn't want to claim me like that, you know?
It's a mind fuck.
It's definitely a mind fuck.
It is. Like, yeah, that's the most important relationship you have as a person, your mother and father.
So yes.
Your mother's telling you, tell everyone you're my brother.
Yes.
And you go along with it.
Yes.
God, that messes you up. Yeah. It has to. And shockingly, it's not the first time in Elkin's life where he's pretending to be someone other than who he is, at his mother Peggy's insistence. Around the man who would become Peggy's fourth husband, Peggy has her own son, Elkin, pretend to be her nephew and implores Elkin to refer to her as Aunt Peggy because she's convinced her fourth husband that she doesn't have any kids. As you can imagine, that charade doesn't end well.
They started having problems when he found out that I was actually her son. I let it slip one day, and we were talking about something. I wanted them to bring me somewhere. I was like, my mom's gonna bring me. Like, it was just a slip of the tongue, you know? I just wasn't thinking. And I came back, and it was a whole issue. I think that was the hardest pill to swallow. I really do. We would fight, and I would get upset sometimes, and it got me drinking a lot. It's like, am I not good enough to be your son?
So while masquerading as other people at his mom's request clearly bothered Elkin, he still knowingly and intentionally pretended to be Peggy's brother for years. But when Dennis Rodman and his girlfriend at the time, Gigi, find out that Elkin is actually Peggy's son, Elkin acts as if he's shocked by it too.
But then Elkin, when he was confronted one night when I was there, he went into, "You mean Peggy, my sister, is my mother?" Elkin was very angry, very disturbed, like he had just found out that Peggy was not his sister like he had thought all these years, and found out that she was his mother.
Which completely contradicts what Elkin has said publicly, that he knowingly went along pretending to be his mother's brother.
So he's in on it, right?
My buddy, Evan Goldstein, again.
Well, I mean, it does beg the question, if he will go that far and pretend to be her brother for years, more than a decade by some accounts, what else is he going along with? If you're Dennis Rodman, and one day you find out that your best friend, this guy who's been your road manager, traveling with you to all these places, this guy you confided in, who you believe to be Peggy's brother, and you find out, no, they lied, he's her son. Like, how would you feel?
Oh my God.
That's almost worse than the money to me. It's like our whole relationship is a lie.
Well, it's the ultimate betrayal. Because, you know, it's not that she just said it. He was going along with it. You know, Dennis Rodman confided in this guy.
For sure.
He shared things. They're partying. They're doing things. Yeah. You know, he told him dark secrets. When a relationship starts with a lie.
Yeah.
And not only that, that is perpetuated, that is continued on.
It turns into a million
lies. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
And when Dennis Rodman confronts Elkin about everything, about the missing money, about Elkin being Peggy's son and not her brother.
We got into a huge fight. The fight was concerning me and my mother, or me and Peggy. We're stealing all of his money. He called my mother a whore, so I punched him. I uppercutted him. I ain't seen him since.
Elkin has insisted time and time again that his mom Peggy is not the scammer she's accused of being.
Everybody can make a mistake. If I was to invest your money, and let's say Apple went to shits tomorrow, it looks good now, doesn't it? But we lost all our money, didn't we? Am I responsible for that? I think she just put their money in places that weren't good. And I don't necessarily think it all went in her pocket.
I think that Elkin is in damage control, and I don't blame him, because this is going to be devastating for his family, for everybody. I can't speak for what he did know or didn't know. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
Elkin has stated publicly that other than pretending to be Peggy's brother, he did nothing wrong. He didn't steal any of Dennis Rodman's money, nor did he help his mother defraud Dennis Rodman in any way.
How can I believe anything you say when you lied about this being your mom?
Peggy's former assistant again, Chantel Cohen.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
I mean, like, come on.
And that's not a little lie.
No, that's a huge lie.
That's his whole existence.
Because he wants everyone to know that he didn't have anything to do with it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I want to believe you because I actually like you guys, you know? And I wanted to believe it, but it's like, you lied about this. What else are you lying about? There's no way that you went throughout this whole time not seen something. Even if you feel like you didn't do anything with your mom, you seen things. Come on. Come on. You're grown.
Dennis Rodman's former manager isn't buying Elkin's explanation either.
Elkin was part of the company that was defrauding clients, so that's his burden to carry. I still can't understand why he would allow his mother to say that he's her brother and just allow that to go on. That, to me, it makes everything else tainted. To me, if you're not part of the fraud, why are you participating in it?
Dennis Rodman was the pinnacle for Peggy. In her con game of chess, he was the king. He was the checkmate. And she got to the king by quietly taking out a lot of pawns. Other professional athletes who never told a living soul that Peggy scammed them.
You know, it's an embarrassing situation and no one wants to come out and say,
nobody.
I wasn't watching my money and this is what happened. But I feel like in Love, 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 Travis.
Travis was Peggy's first pro athlete and her first victim.
If he would have said something then, it wouldn't have been such a domino effect.
Oh, I said the same thing. A 1,000,000%. Yeah. Because victims are ashamed.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is they're enabling the con artist to do it again and do it again and do it again. Like, until someone stands up and goes public, which is hard to do.
Yes.
She gets away again and again and again.
It turns out the $1.2 million Peggy tricks out of Dennis Rodman is just a drop in the bucket compared to the millions and millions of dollars.
So many millions.
Peggy scams from a bunch of other professional athletes in the plain light of day. And how she manipulates one athlete to get the other on board, to get the other on board, and so on, is just a master class in confidence trickery.
Never occurred to you she's doing this to 20 other
people?
Hell
no.
Wow.
Hell no. Hell no. And that's why I was so like, once I heard that she was doing it to other people, and I'm like, Dennis Rodman, we hung out with his homeboy, and she used to brag about these people, and it's like, oh, you was robbing them too?
Next time on Queen of the Con.
It is what it is. It's not nothing you can take back.
One of Peggy's pro athlete victims reveals a different side of Peggy entirely.
She was a cougar. Yeah, cougar.
Was she flirting with you?
Peggy was somebody that would probably have sex with one of her clients.
If you're enjoying Queen of the Con, leave us a 5-star review. Reviews help other listeners find us. And by all means, click that share button and send Queen of the Con to anyone you think might be into it. Queen of the Con, The Athlete Whisperer, is a production of AYR Media and iHeart Media, hosted by me, Jonathan Walton. Executive producers, Jonathan Walton for Jonathan Walton Productions and Aliza Rosen for AYR Media. Consulting producer, Evan Goldstein. Consulting producer, Trace Sheehan. Written by Jonathan Walton. Sound design by Zach Hirsch. Edited and mixed by Zach Hirsch. Audio engineer, Justin Longerbeam. Audio engineer, Chris Desmond. Studio engineer, Graham Gibson. Mastered by Justin Longerbeam. Legal counsel for AYR Media, Gianni Douglas. Executive producer for iHeartMedia, Maya Howard. Voice acting by Darnell Baldwin, Tyree Saxton Jr., Courtney Hetrick, Milan Faxis, Jorge Farragut, David Teitelbaum, Tarina Pouncey, Kim Gagne, Stuart Chait, Teresa Prindle. Statements from press reports, public interviews, and from court records were dramatized verbatim on this season of Queen of the Con. BET's American Gangster Trap Queens, TNT's Rich and Shameless, CNBC's American Greed, The Guardian, Sports Illustrated, The Times Picayune, The Opportunist Podcast, victim interviews, and countless court records were the sources used on this season of Queen of the Con.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery.
But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.